भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, and chapter number 15, entitled The Glories of the Descendant of King Priyavrata. And today we are on text number 2. Since text number 2 and 3 doesn't have any purpose, so we'll be reading text 2, 3 and 4 as well. So, Canto 5, Chapter 15, The Descendants of King Priyavrata, text number 2. Tasmad Vritta Senayam Devata Jinnama Putro Bhavet. Tasmad vritta senayam devatajin nama putro abhavat.
Tasmad vritta
senayam devatajin nama putro abhavat.
Tasmad
from Sumati,
Vritta Senaya,
in the womb of his wife,
named Vritta Sena,
Devatajit Nama,
named Devatajit,
Putraha,
Asan,
Abhavat,
was born.
Translation. From Sumati, a son named Devatajit was born by the womb of his wife named Vridhasena. Text number 3. Atha Suryam Tad Tanayo Devat Yumnas Tato Dhenu Matyam Sutaha Parameshti Tasya Suvar Chalayam Pratiha Upajatah. Translation. Thereafter, in the womb of Asuri, the wife of Devatajit, a son named Devadyumna was begotten. Devadyumna begot in the womb of his wife Dhenumati a son named Parameshti. Parameshti begot a son named Pratiha in the womb of his wife Suvarjala. Text number 4. Ye Atma Vidyam Akhyaya Swayam Samruddho Mahapurusham Anu Sasmarat. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. King Pratiha personally propagated the principles of self-realization. King Pratiha personally propagated the principles of self-realization. In this way, not only was he purified, but he became a great devotee of the Supreme Person, Lord Vishnu, and directly realized him. Purport. The word Anusasmar is very significant. God consciousness is not imaginary or concocted. The devotee who is pure and advanced realizes God as He is. Maharaj Pratiha did so. And due to his direct realization of Lord Vishnu, he propagated self-realization and became a creature. A real creature cannot be bogus, but must first of all realize Lord Vishnu as He is, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse number 34. Upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinah. One who has seen the truth can impart knowledge. The word tattva-darshi refers to one who has perfectly realized the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a person can become a guru and propound Vaishnava philosophy all over the world. The paragon of bona fide preachers and guru is King Pratipa.
Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Vishnaya Bhudale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tiname Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vachayane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Deshataye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare Om Agyana Dimanda Siganajana Shalakaya Chakshurum Hidamani Tasmai Shri Guru Vedama Panchakar Padubhya Sadhupa Sindhubhya Javati Dhanakarami Piyashti Vindana Mohana So, for my own purification, I would endeavor to speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification. Please bless me, so I can glorify our lordships for their pleasure and for my verification. Yesterday, our Sri Gopal Prabhu has very nicely given some background of this chapter, how it came to this point. So I'm not going to repeat that, but he mentioned that the description here is about devotees who came in lineage of Manu, starting from Manu, and then so many other great personalities came, and he pointed that not every lineage was described in Srimad Bhagavatam, but the very key devotees, very important devotees, have been described in an elaborate manner. And we have come to this point that descendants of Priyavrata, King Priyavrata, Priyavrata Maharaj, has been described. Here we see so many names coming. This king and their sons, their wives. Why so many names are described in Srimad Bhagavatam? You will see this kind of pattern coming canto after canto, especially canto 9, if you read. So many names are there, this king, that king. So dynasties after dynasties have been described, lineage after lineage has been described. So many names are there. So you can see in two ways. It is explained that when you read, you can see that time is so powerful that even so many powerful kings are no more after some time. They have to leave this world. They cannot hold on to anything what they have. And their position, their wealth, and their fame, nothing. Time will take away even from such a great kings. So, devotees take in that manner, and you know, after reading this, oh, see, Who am I in front of these things? You know, it won't be with me, whatever I have. So be prepared and be detached from this material world and prepare to get out of this material world in an ideal way, like these kings have been. So that's the one way to look at this. And another way to look at this is so many acharyas, so many devotees have given purports, have given tika, given explanation on these verses as well. Not only the verses which has core philosophy and pastimes of the Lord, but also even in this kind of verses. And we see here, for example, verse number 4, Prabhupada has given nice purport, small purport, nice purport. But you will see his realization even in this small verse where it says, you know, this begot son named this from this wife. So many commentaries of Bhagavatam are there. And whoever has given commentary on those verses, they are adding their realizations in those explanations. So the point is, for us it looks like just names, but for realized person, they are more than names. Why? I give you an example. For example, if you read a piece of paragraph where it describes about Brahmacharya Ashram of Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir, and then you read, okay, and there is nice Brahmacharya Ashram there, this, and you will read some names also, okay, there you have Gopalindesh Prabhu, Arjun Sangha Prabhu, Nikesh Prabhu, like that you will read names. So if you take that piece of paper and give to someone on the road, what do you think? How will he appreciate that piece of text? For him it's just okay, some names, right? Isn't it? But if I read, for example, I'll feel joyous. Isn't it? Why is it so? I know those person. I know those people. I know those devotees. I have spent some time with them. Like that, you know, I have a relationship with them. So when these devotees, self-realized devotees, read Srimad Bhagavatam, they know. And they pass on this information disciplic succession, you know, from one age to another age. And like that it goes on. Narad Muni writes something about this person. Vyasa writes about something about this person. You know, yes, I know. And especially the characteristics. Oh, yes, you know, I know this devotee. He's so wonderful. For example, if you read a book, Kurma Prabhu has written a book about this Melbourne temple. Transcendental Adventure. Right? What's the title of that book? The Great Transcendental Adventure. So you read that book and you will come across so many names of devotees in that book who were serving Radha Vallabh and our lordships at that time, in those years. And you can make connection with them. Yes, and then, you know, eventually that knowledge is passed down. So like that, great devotees have given their realizations and explanation of these great personalities. So for us it's not just names, but we are reading their realizations as well. And that's why it is very important. They are not just useless names to fill up the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam is being described. No, they are very important. And here we see in this text, number 4, Prabhupada has added his realizations that this devotee, Maharaj Pratiha, is a very advanced devotee. So Prabhupada writes that the devotee who is pure and advanced realizes God as he is. Maharaj Pratiha did so, and due to his direct realization of Lord Vishnu, he propagated self-realization and became a preacher.
And then Prabhupada writes about the qualification of Guru. So here he says, a real preacher cannot be bogus. He must first of all realize Lord Vishnu as he is, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4:34. Upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinam. One who has seen the truth can impart knowledge. So today's class I would be focusing on this theme, tattva darshi, the person who has seen the absolute truth. So we'll, in first part, we'll understand the meaning of tattva darshi, and then in second part we'll understand what is the qualification of such a person who has self-realized, who has seen the absolute truth. And in third part, what is our position here and what are we meant to do. So let us begin. So here, question for you. Are we all tattva-darshi? The thing is, who has seen the absolute truth can impart knowledge to others. They can become Vishwaguru. They can accept disciples all over the world and become great preacher. So we are meant to follow these instructions, right? We are meant to follow their footsteps. Are we tattva darshi?
In different degrees, I would say yes, because we are following the acharyas. Through them, we have access to that vision, to that knowledge. So it's a level of vision or realization that we have access to. But for, not for our personal qualification, but by following them.
Very nice. So I give you three options, okay, those who haven't spoken. One answer is no, we are not tattva darshi. One answer is yes, we are. And the third answer is, as Mataji mentioned, yes and no. Now tell me, these are the hints. Jairaman Prabhu, please.
Yes and no.
Okay. Seva Bhagavan Prabhu. Are we tattva darshi, yes or no, or yes and no? Which one, sir?
If you follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, yes.
And how we are no?
If you are not following.
Yes. Very good answer. Yes, we have seen absolute truth, isn't it? What is this book about? What is this book? Srimad Bhagavatam, right? Is this ordinary book? This is Krishna himself. I'm holding Krishna right now. I'm seeing him. Right? Whom are we seeing here in front of us? They are just statues made of stone, wood, metal. No, right? We are seeing absolute truth here. We are seeing Krishna. Then Srila Prabhupada refers to this purport, this verse in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, that 4:34. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport of 4:34, in the beginning paragraph, the path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. So Prabhupada is talking about disciplic succession starting from Lord Krishna. So no one else can claim that they are bona fide spiritual masters. If they are
not coming in disciplic succession, which is starting from Lord Krishna. Right? So two points are there. So the Lord is original spiritual master, and the person in the disciplic succession can convey the message to the Lord as it is to his disciple. So, do we all accept Lord Krishna as supreme spiritual master? Yes. Alright? That's why we are here. Are we all in disciplic succession that is starting from Lord Krishna? Yes. So I have given you so many reasons, right? We are seeing Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Sense of the Truth. We are seeing Lord Krishna in front of us. We are in disciplic succession. We accept Lord Krishna as Supreme Lord and Supreme Spiritual Master. So it is correct to say, yes, we have seen the truth. We are Tattvadarshi. But same time, as devotees have mentioned, we are not yet there. Our realization of Absolute Truth is not on equal level as like Srila Prabhupada has. We are not yet there. We are in the process of becoming Tattvadarshi. We are practicing, we are sadhaka. We are following the path. And one day we will reach there. It's like when you go to school, a student goes to study medicine. So he has to study so many things. He has to go for training, he has to go for experiments, he has to go for practical experiments and write papers and go for exams, so many things he has to go through. And then at one point, he'll be qualified as a doctor. It is interesting. I was searching in my profession. It is even further made it more complex. I have studied architecture. I spent 5 years studying architecture. So I got qualification. So I can say I am architect, right? But here I cannot. In Australia I cannot. They have another bodies. They regulate this profession, and although you have degree from university, you still have to go through their own process of studies and interviews and exams. And once you crack that, then you are entitled to write you are an architect in front of your name, and you can practice as an architect. So even if you have qualification, you are not qualified to practice. So they ask for even more qualities, more qualification. So it's like that. Yes, we are Tattvadarshi to some degree, but real character of Tattvadarshi is much more deeper than we are going to study soon. Duryodhana also saw Lord Krishna. Hiranyakashipu saw Lord Krishna. Ravana saw Lord Krishna, Lord Rama. So you can say that they are Tattvadarshi? They have seen the Absolute Truth. It is about the consciousness. So our Srila Prabhupada, has given such a nice name to this institution. It's ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Krishna Consciousness means Tattvadarshi. We are here to become Tattvadarshi. So this Duryodhana, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, although they saw Absolute Truth, but their consciousness was not there. Their consciousness was not right. They couldn't see the Absolute Truth, although seeing the Absolute Truth. So they were not Tattvadarshi. So it's all about our consciousness. So this whole process, what we are following, given by Srila Prabhupada, is there to help us become Tattvadarshi. So, yes, being said that, here we are talking about Tattvadarshi who can make disciples all over the world. And this is our prime duty, to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world.
I ask you another question. Where is another reference where it describes qualification of a guru, bona fide guru? Very famous book and very famous verse. Very nice, that is one, yes. So, Sri Ishopanishad, Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction, the text 1, where Rupa Goswami mentions qualification of bona fide spiritual master. So, that's where we are going to focus. This year, this now we are moving into the second part I was talking about of this presentation. Where qualification of Tattva Darshi is been described. Now Srimad Bhagavatam classes can be very interesting when you take it as a means to have personal introspection. One can have daily personal introspection by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not that after 6 months or after 1 year, you know, you go through your things and you make resolutions. No, this can be done every day. Every day we can derive something from Srimad Bhagavatam and we can analyze, we can think about it, what I am doing, what I have done, what I should be doing, how can I improve myself. So Srimad Bhagavatam classes, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam classes can be very good mean to progress in Krishna consciousness. It can become daily introspection. So, seeing in that way, we will be discussing the qualities of Tattva Darshi, which is mentioned in Nectar of Instruction, given by Rupa Goswami Maharaj. So here today I am going to refer other commentaries on the same verse by Bhaktivinod Thakur and his son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur Maharaj has given commentary on this verse. There is a whole book called Piyush Varshini Tika. Piyush means Amrit and Varshini means shower. So shower of Amrit. So this Upadesha Amrit is like a shower of nectar, Amrit. And Bhaktivinoda Maharaj has given commentary on that. That's the book of, that's the title of that book. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj Goswami has written commentary. And his name is Anuvritti Tika. So Anuvritti Tika is, Anu means following. So following which Tika? Anuvritti Tika. His father's book. So, Piyush Varshini Tika, main book, and then his son, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, has written Anuvritti Tika. So, I'll be discussing, I'll be presenting some of the points from there. So, that verse talks about six urges, Vacho Vegam, and you would like to say that verse, Madhani?
Vacho Vegam, Vamsa Kodhanisam, Jitva Vegam, Udhano Prastha Vegam, Vedan Vegam, Vishade Gatira, Sarvamukhi Ma, Kripanim Sashishta.
Very nice. Translation, would you like to say? So which are the six Vegas? It's good to memorize, right? Although we have heard this so many times, but it's time to time we should memorize and reflect on that. Today is the time. Arjun Sagapur, we have the six Vedas.
Each, I was just controlling the posture of
Arjun
to speak.
Arjun speak. Watch your way. Here is not supposed to be. This is right application of using speech. Must glorify Lord. So, first one is Vacho Vega. Urge to speak. Please, everyone, six of us.
Say one man, Arjis. Go in sequence. Panchavegam, Manasavegam, Krodh, Anger, third one, fourth one. Jiva, tongue, belly, and genitals, right? So these are the six vegas. So in Anuvritti, Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj has actually classified into three basically. First one is vacha, second one is mind, and third one is body. So these Sanskrit terms, karma, vachan, and man. Karma, man, and vachan. Karma means body, referring to man means mind, and vachan means speech. So basically they are the same. Further, Rupa Goswami has classified into six, but they are saying mind has two vega. So one is uncontrolled mind, and second is anger arises from mind. So anger is classified under mind. And the body has three vegas basically, tongue, belly, and genital. So like that, these three plus two plus one is six, basically they are same. So Anuvrittika Maharaj writes that one who believes that he or she is body, one who believes he or she is a body in this material world, immediately these three urges, mind, body, and speech, BMW basically, body, mind, and words, right, comes and captures that living entity. They are bound by these three, six urges, these three vegas, or six vegas. As soon as one thinks that I am this body. And that's what we see, you know, in this material world, everyone thinks that, you know, just enjoy your life to the full extent. Do whatever you like to do. Because why? After a few years you won't be here anymore and there is no life after that. So just enjoy. So these six urges immediately captures that person. And then Maharaj mentions that, but on the other side, if one becomes free from these six urges, what he or she will gain? What they will gain? So Maharaj mentions that they will immediately become free from these threefold miseries, Adi Atmika, Adi Devika, Adi Bhautika. And they will again become free from these three modes of material nature. So those who thinks that I am body and works on that bodily platform, they will be bound by these six urges. On the other hand, those who will become free from these six urges, and those who can control, those who can tolerate and control these six urges, they will become tapasvi. They will become free from pangs of material life, three modes of nature and three four miseries. So let us talk about each urges one by one. Vani Veg. What is Vani Veg? If you give this microphone to someone, you know, they'll speak. And if you try to take away, you know, they'll resist. No, let me speak a little more. Right? Everyone would like to speak. And so much speaking is going around, around us, and everything is basically nonsense, useless. If you see the billboard, actually someone is speaking to you, that buy this and enjoy like this, you know, you'll be happy, go for this. It's speaking, you know, although, you know, no one is there, but in form of some graphics and some text, someone is speaking to you. Everyone is speaking. So Maharaj has mentioned, Bhaktisinoda Maharaj, Prabhupada, has classified it for the two. This one Veda, this urge to speak. What is that? That people always talk about nonsense, Gramya Katha. So that's the first one. And second, people write about nonsense things. So writing books also comes into that category. So talking useless things doesn't have to do anything with Supreme Lord, Lord Krishna, or devotees, or devotional service. So if you don't have that thing, then it is useless talk, useless use of your speech. And another one is, people write so many books which has nothing to do with God consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So those books are also categorized in one way. And Prabhupada says that it is like a croaking of a frog. So frog thinks that, you know, he is speaking so nicely and so much important thing he is speaking, you know, drum drum he will do. Oh, you know. But what does he's doing? He's basically inviting a snake nearby. He listens and comes and, you know, devours him. That snake is like a time, kala. The time comes and, you know, one day devours all these useless talkers. And Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada further gives him information that those people, bhogi, materialistics basically, then karmakandis and mayavadis, they all actually fall in this category. They are there, just uselessly talking. Nothing is important. What do you think? So Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, very nice two verses are mentioned. Vyasadeva, Narada Muni when approached Vyasadeva, and then he was despondent, and he wasn't happy. The Narada Muni gave the reason why you are not happy. You have described everything, but you haven't described glories of Lord Krishna directly. So now write a book, right? Now write a Srimad Bhagavatam Puran that directly glorifies Lord Krishna, then you will be happy. So remedy to control a tongue, to control urge to speak, is basically glorification of Lord Krishna. When we glorify Lord Krishna, then it is perfect use of our speech, and we'll be controlling the urge to speak nonsense thing. We'll be free from this vega. There are two verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1, 5, 10, and 11, where specifically this thing has been described, that tad vasyam tirtham usanti manasa. So the places where all people talk nonsense, it is like place of pilgrimage for the crows. Great advanced devotees doesn't take any pleasure hearing those things, those Gramya Kathas. And the following next verse, it says, tadvad visargo janatag viplav. The literature, it is about literature, where Lord Krishna is being glorified, those literatures will bring revolution in the sinful life of the people. These are actually very good books. Every other book which doesn't glorify Lord Krishna is actually Vajravega, is actually useless. Moving to second category of Vega. Vega, urge of mind. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj classifies these two in another two points. That what is urges of mind? First one is called avirodh priti. Avirodh priti means attachment to the prohibited things. Sorry. Those things which are prohibited, we are attached to those things. The mind will say that, okay, look at that banner in a nice restaurant, let's go and eat something there. But no, we are not supposed to eat there. It is not prasad. But then, the urge is so strong that they will eventually go and eat. So, this is called avirodh priti, attachment to things which are prohibited. And then second is virodh yukta krodh. Virodh yukta krodh means when such desires are not fulfilled, what your mind wants to say and enjoy and do, when they are not being fulfilled, they get frustrated, they get disappointed, and out of frustration the anger arises. So that kind of anger is called virodh yukta krodh, right? So these are the two categories mentioned in the urges of mind. And what is the remedy given? Again, remembrance of Krishna. When you remember Krishna, you can control the mind. And for example, virodhyut, krodh. So we have great personalities like Arjun, Hanuman. They have used anger in service of the Lord. Even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for example. He says, Trinadapi Sunishena, Taranapi Sunishena. But still, he invoked Sudarshan Chakra to kill someone. Right? So someone can say, Lord is teaching Trinadapi Sunishena, become humble. At the same time, he is killing someone. But no, for protection of his devotees, for protection of dharma, one can use krodh. So this urges are there. They won't go away. And they will always be there. It's just we have to tolerate them and we have to engage those urges in right manner. So first one was vani. So by engaging our vani in glorification of Lord, it is right use of our vani, and that's how we control that. Engaging our mind in remembrance of Krishna, that will control the urge of mind. Again, anger is part of manavega. And the third vega, sharir vega, the urge of body, urges of body, sharir. So these three, starting from tongue, belly and genital. Prabhupada says they are all in three lines, one after another. So when you put something from top, it goes down, 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 right? So, if you want to improve yours, if someone has stomach disease, for example, improve their immunity, their strength of stomach, digestion system, then, you don't add something from top, which are prohibited, which will cause problem, then it will solve the problem, on the next level automatically. So like that, it says all the problems of belly and genital can be controlled through tongue. So tongue is most powerful. So where Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj writes that song, mentions that song in the purport, which we daily sing, Sharira Vidyaja Chanindya Tayaka Jiva Filadise Sadhari Dara Mati Jiyamati Loba Maya Sutramati. But we hardly meditate on that song, isn't it? Before having prasada, we hardly think about what we are singing. It is actually very deep meanings. And if we actually understand that song, then we will be in right consciousness by having prasada. And then only prasada will have effect on our consciousness. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj has elaborately given explanation, particularly in the Sarira Veda, controlling the tongue. So he has mentioned about whole song, and further he has mentioned few things, how to control the tongue. So this Sarira, this body is avidya jala, is a network of nuisance. It's avidya, it's a network of ignorance. And we have prasada. Krishna Bada Devamaya. Krishna is so kind that he has given us prasada to conquer this urge of tongue, to come out of this nuisance through tongue. This jiva is very powerful. Tara madhe jiva madhe. Amongst all this network of nuisance, madhya, in the center is a tongue, and it's more powerful. It says that. So this prasadam is so potent, so powerful, that this tongue can be controlled through prasadam, but by having in right consciousness. So there are six tastes of food. Right? Which are those six tastes of food? One by one, please.
Sweet,
sour,
bitter,
salty,
spicy,
astringent, and hot, spicy. Right? So these are the six different tastes we have in different kind of foods. This is also described in Ayurveda. But Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj mentions that these are the six ways Maya attacks you. These are the six ways Maya attacks you. So which are the six ways? Prabhupada explains this. It is not directly taste of the food, but he mentions that six ways that Maya attacks through food to basically derail you from Krishna consciousness. So we'll go one by one. The first one is the food which is prohibited. Like people have urge to eat non-vegetarian items. Meat, for example. So that is tamasic food. So that's the first way Maya attacks. Then people have urge to eat food in mode of passion. Rajasic food. Someone likes more chili, someone likes more sugar, tamarind, if you are South Indian. So like that, you know. People have urge to eat that kind of food. People have urge to eat vegetarian food. And so again, vegetarian food and food what we are eating is different. Vegetarians and Vaishnavas are not equal. And they are not equal, you know. We are Vaishnavas. We are servants of Lord Vishnu, and we eat only prasadam. We are prasadarian. That's what someone coined this word, prasadarian. We are not vegetarian. So even urge to eat nice, you know, spinach and so many vegetarian preparations you have. That is also one way Maya attacks you. Then these are the three, right? Rajasic, tamasic, and sattvic food. And then what are other things? Things which are intoxicating in nature. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj talks about basically pan, bitter nuts, haritaki, and Prabhupada gives furthermore in his purport when he saw, you know, people are taking LSD and, you know, those kind of intoxicating substances. And so Prabhupada had tobacco, tea, coffee, all these things. So these are also urges to satisfy your tongue. And the fifth one, desire to eat. Okay, you want to eat prasadam, but still, if you want to enjoy your taste buds, sometimes we say, you know, okay, what do you want to eat? Okay, let's cook pizza and offer to Lord Krishna. You know,
So basically, you know, we want to eat pizza. So that's our consciousness. We want to relish the taste of pizza. But we'll cook them, we'll offer to Krishna, and then we'll have it. But this is also, Mukhisinal Maharaj said, this is wrong consciousness. This is not proper consciousness. You are thinking of yourself first. You are trying to enjoy yourself first. And then we'll, again, okay, this is the means, that's what we do, we offer. So we'll offer and then we have it. So this kind of mentality is also a type of Maya. And then, last one, he says, sixth one, he says, if one desires to eat palatable food in a house of a rich person, so this is also a type of Maya. So these are the basically six ways Maya attacks. And a practicing devotee can fall into this urge of tongue. So, what happens, as the nectar of instruction says, Rupa Goswami, that one who controls this six Vedas, karma, mana and vachan. Karma, mana, vachan. So these six Vedas, these six urges, one who controls, he is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So here now we can introspect how much we are able to control our senses in these Vedas. So then again, the first very questions I ask, are we tattva-darshi? So then we can come to conclusion, not really, you know. To still go away, far away, to become tattva-darshi, we are still not yet perfect. There are so many urges, we haven't controlled our senses so far. Prahlad Maharaj mentions in Srimad Bhagavatam, he mentions to his father that Adant Gobir Vishatam Tamishram Puna Punas Charvita Charvanaham. So basically, he says that one with uncontrolled senses, one with uncontrolled senses makes progress to hellish condition of life. And because he is having uncontrolled senses, he will have no inclination towards Krishna consciousness. So it is very essential for us, being sadhakas, that we time to time go through this kind of introspection, and we endeavor on daily basis where I need to improve, where I need to improve myself, and aspire to become tattva-darshi day by day. But here it says that this tattva-darshi is qualified to become Vishwa-guru. So should we wait until we become perfect tattva-darshi, then only we should go out and preach? No, right? Why? For answers. Yes, Mahaprabhu says that. Lord Himself says that. And not only Mahaprabhu, but Krishna also said the same thing. In the 18th chapter, he did mention to Arjuna that, you know, this knowledge is very secret. Don't tell anyone who is envious of me, who is not engaged in devotional service, who is not pure. Don't tell them this. But after a few verses, Krishna Himself says, you know, there is no one more dear than the person who goes and gives this knowledge to others. So, Lord's desire ultimately is to help each and every living entity. So, surrender is there, but still, you know, for example, Mahaprabhu, Yadika Tarakahu Krishna Upadeks. You go out and tell everyone about Krishna consciousness. and you become guru of everyone. So Lord Krishna himself gave this instruction. And then, you know, don't worry, you know, qualification for just important is you go and teach Krishna consciousness. It's like, you know, we are in emergency. When you are in emergency, some countries, even they train all the citizens in military arts, how to use weapons. So in time of emergency, in time of need, you know, even the normal citizens will go and, you know, fight the enemy. So they are not, okay, you don't have qualification, you know, you are not. No, it's time, emergency time, you know, you go and protect your country, you go and fight. So we are in that situation. And that's why this instruction comes in picture, that, you know, people are suffering in this material world. There's so much problem in this material world. And we are part of army. We are part of this spiritual army where we are supposed to fight against Maya. And tell people that, you know, you are in Maya, please wake up, you know, control your six urges, become Tattva-darshi. Come, join me. I am also doing the same thing. So we are not Bhajanandi, we are Goshtiyanandi. Bhajanandi are people or devotees who derive great pleasure in, you know, remembering and meditating and chanting Lord's glories. But our happiness is glorifying Lord Krishna, actively preaching about glories of Lord Krishna. That's where we derive pleasure. We are in that disciplic succession. We are in the disciplic succession of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who says, go and preach Krishna consciousness. He did that in South India too. When he went, every village he went, he would, you know, chant Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. Everyone would join him. And then before leaving, he would say, no, no, you stay here, you know, don't follow me. But you stay here and you do what I taught you. You chant and go and tell others how to chant, teach others how to chant, and that's how you will please me. I'll be with you forever, like that, if you do that. So like that, from one village to another village to another village, Mahaprabhu would go and, you know, whole village would chant and become devotee. So that was the process, and we are in that disciplic succession. So we don't have to wait to become Tattva-darshi and then start preaching. No. Our duty is now itself. By doing this, we'll become Tattva-darshi. This is our process. So, we are not going against any instructions here. It can say, you know, well, you are not Tattva-darshi, how come you are preaching? You know, your preaching won't be effective. No, it won't be like that. You know? And there are always some exception that to achieve higher principle, one can neglect the lower principle. And Prabhupada did that, and so many other acharyas in the past have did that. For example, Ramananda Acharya. So he, when he received a mantra from his guru Maharaj said that, you know, don't tell this mantra to anyone. It is very secret. It is kept secret. You only chant in your privacy. He said, why? Because whoever listens this mantra, they will go back to God. Then Ramananda Acharya went outside in the middle of the village. He just, you know, shouted this whole Mahamantra. And, you know, no, chant, 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 like that. So he went, you know, a principle of instruction of his Guru Maharaj, not to reveal, but he revealed. Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Hyderabad, I think inauguration ceremony of his contemporary in Hyderabad, there was a big yajna, and Prabhupada invited some brahmanas from South India to perform some rituals, some yajnas, because his disciples didn't know. So he wanted to his disciples learn and see and, you know, how to do these things. He invited some very good brahmanas from South India, you know, Vaishnava brahmanas. So there is one conversation with Prabhupada. There was one devotee from South India. So he asked Prabhupada in personal darshan. And then he was very learned. He knew. He knew Shastra. So he asked Prabhupada. Prabhupada very humbly he presented his point. And Swamiji, I heard that when Guru is present physically, they shouldn't allow his disciples to worship him in form of vigraha, in form of murti. Once that Guru leaves the world, the planet, then their disciples can install the murti of Guru and then they can worship. But not while Guru is present. Otherwise, that Guru will get so many sins from the people who are worshipping him. Their sins will come to him. So Prabhupada nodded. Yes, I know that. And this is the reason I have come here. Prabhupada replied. So see the compassion. So Prabhupada is in one sense, you know, not paying attention to the Shastric injunctions that one should not allow his disciple to worship himself in form of murti when he is physically present, when he is still here on the planet. He is not considering that as so important. But for him, it is more important that, you know, people become purified, people become devoted. So he is willingly taking the risk of, you know, accepting the sins and suffering to achieve higher cause. Just like the gopis in Vrindavan. So when they heard that Krishna had headache, and Krishna said, my headache will be gone only if I take dust from the gopis' feet. And these gopis are, you know, okay, then take it. Like that, you know? So they are not putting our feet on Lord Krishna's head. It's like the previous sin one can imagine, isn't it? So gopis did that. Don't mind, you know, we will suffer in hell. But if Krishna is being cured of his headache by doing so, we'll do that. So one can neglect the lower principle to achieve the higher principle. So here, although if we are not tattva-darshi and we think that, you know, how can I preach and how can I accept disciples all over the world, we don't have to wait to become perfected Vaishnava. We can still engage in preaching mission. We can still do preaching. Once my Guru Maharaj, I was in kind of engaged in preaching programs, and I asked my Guru Maharaj that, Maharaj, I am not qualified, I don't have knowledge, I am not a learned person, and I know so many young masters here. Now how can I preach? So Maharaj said, no, just teach what you understood and what you are practicing. And what you are able to practice and what you have understood, just preach that much. That's enough. And then you will be empowered. You will become devoted. So, this is our position. We are on the way to become tattva-darshi. We are not yet tattva-darshi. But yes, we know what we are supposed to do now onwards. And being a member of this great disciplic succession in Goshtyanandji Sampradaya, we are meant to give Krishna consciousness to each and everyone whom we meet. So I conclude here. If anyone has any question, comments or correction, please do so. We have another 5-10 minutes. Okay. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki?
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki?
Jai.
Then I go up and they